Welcome to Westport Road Baptist Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us for today's message. Westport Road Baptist Church is located at the corner of Hurstbourne Lane and Westport Road in Louisville, Kentucky. If you have a Bible, please have it handy and prepare your heart and mind as our pastor, Chip Pendleton, brings us the Word of God.
Good morning and welcome to everybody, especially welcome to everyone watching online. Don't forget we have that chat feature. We're going to be using that chat feature during the sermon, so get on that chat feature right now. You can even do that in person. Just pull up your church app, and we're going to be asking some questions for you to answer on that app as we go through it. Well, we started a new sermon series here on Sunday morning entitled "The Resurrection Changes Everything." And today we're going to talk about going from being stressed in your life to being blessed in your life. And we're going to be looking at both the cause of stress and the antidote for stress in our scripture passage, which we read earlier, Psalm 23. Most of you know it by heart. Might want to pull it up anyway. Take out your Bible, put it up on your phone. Psalm 23. And we're going to talk about going from being stressed to being blessed. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but most ads that you see are talking about something that stresses you and then giving you the antidote. And the antidote is always their product. Buy our product, it will take care of your stress. Now, I found some old ads here, and something I found when I was looking at old ads is that they're not only funny, they're also very sexist and things. Here are some old ads talking about going from stressed to blessed. Are you unpopular with your children? It's because you got bad breath. That's the reason you thought there was some relationship issue going on with your children. The real problem is you've had bad breath. That's why your kids don't like you. So if you want to get rid of that stressor, and if you want your children to like you again, then you need to use the right kind of mouthwash there. That will take care of your problem all along. Here's one I thought was hilarious. There's another woman waiting for every man. You got morning breath or stains on your teeth? Man, another woman gonna take your man in a heartbeat. Which says a lot about the woman and the man that you happen to be married to. But if you use the right toothpaste, Chlorodent, no more problems in your marriage. It's all over. Now, I know some of you are out there thinking, if I knew that's all I had to do, have morning breath, I'd have been having that every morning. You know, that would have taken care of that problem I've had right there. But the right toothpaste does that. But it's not just bad breath that sometimes is a problem. Sometimes it's dandruff. It's dandruff. Oh, my goodness. Every time you scratch your head, someone is judging you because of the dandruff that you have. But if you use Head and Shoulders, no more problems. So there's always a stressor, and then there's an antidote, and the antidote is always the particular ad there, the particular product they want you to buy. Well, we're going to be looking over into Psalm 23, and we're going to be talking about both stressors and the antidote to that stress. But you may be thinking, well, what in the world does the resurrection have to do with anything? Our sermon series is "The Resurrection Changes Everything." We'll go over to Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. Hebrews 4, beginning with verse 14. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." So what we're told in Hebrews chapter 4 is because Jesus has risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, we now have him on our side in heaven, and we can have confidence that he's going to help us in our time of need. So what does the resurrection have to do with causing us from being stressed to blessed? It has to do with the fact that Jesus has gone into heaven, he's risen from the grave, and he's there to help us now in our time of need. So we're going to be looking over into Psalm 23, and we're going to be talking about stress and the antidote to stress. So let's first of all talk about stress for a second and say, what is stress in the first place? Now, stress is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, what stress is your body's natural reaction to a threat that you have. And so the other day I was driving down the road and I saw a car that was about to pull out onto the road. And can you just tell when you're driving down the road, that car is going to pull out right in front of me? you know. And I kept going. I was aware. I was waiting. And I could just tell them. They were kind of like hesitating. They'd go a little, stop a little, go a little, stop a little. And I go, they're going to wait right till I get there, and then they're going to pull out right in front of me. And so now what the other person is thinking is, I've got a lot of room. I should go. No, I shouldn't go. No, I should go. Now I feel bad. It's hurt my manhood that I didn't go in the first place, and I'm just going to go. And so right when I get there, the car literally pulls out in front of me and about hits me. And so I slam on the brakes, I swerve over, and the car speeds up and takes off. Now, when that happened, what took place? My blood pressure went up, my heart began to race, all of my emotions started going up and down, all of my adrenaline was flowing, and all of that happened as a threat, and it was stress reacting to a threat. And then in 2 minutes or so, I had calmed back down, my stress was gone, and I was back to a normal way of functioning. So stress is just the body's reaction to a threat. The problem that we have today is that we live under chronic stress. We live under the fact that we're stressed all the time about everything. And that's probably the majority of the people in this room, especially over the last year. So many different things have hit us that we just tend to be stressed now about everything. And if you're living under chronic stress, the body never calms down. And think about all the stressors of the last year. We've had, stressors over our health, our finances, politics, racial issues. There's just been one stressor that has hit us after another. And then we just have our normal everyday problems that cause stress, and we never calm down. Our bodies are always functioning under a threat. And when that happens, it's dangerous to us physically. It's dangerous to us mentally. It's dangerous to us emotionally, because we never are able to handle that stress. So we're going to look over into Psalm 23, and we're going to look at 8 stressors that the resurrection has overcome. 8 stressors that the resurrection has overcome. Now, calm down. We're not going to talk about all 8 today. I know that was causing some of you stress. You were thinking, oh my goodness, it's going to take 3 hours for him to talk about 8 stressors. We're only going to talk about 4 of them today, and we'll talk about 4 next week. So just let your stress come down a little bit. Let that body regulate. We're not going to do all of that today. We're just going to look at 4 of the 8 stressors that the resurrection has overcome. Well, the first stressor that the resurrection has overcome is worry. It's worry. So look over into Psalm 23, verse 1. Worry is the stressor we're going to look at. And in Psalm 23, what we're told is the antidote is to trust God, your good shepherd, to meet your need. To trust God, your good shepherd, to meet your need. So verse 1 says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Or the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So you are lacking nothing, you are wanting nothing. Now, that seems like a really strange thing there, because we know we lack things, and we know that we want things in our life that we currently don't have. As a matter of fact, in just the psalm before Psalm 23, Psalm 22, I know that because I'm really good at math. This is written by the same person, both psalms written by David. This is how David starts Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? I cry out in anguish. My God, I cry out all day and all night, and you do not answer. I find no rest. Does it sound like David is lacking or needing something? What do you think? The very next chapter, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I don't want anything. So how can David so confidently say that he now lacks nothing, when obviously he lacked a lot the scripture before? Is he schizophrenic? Is his emotions go up and down? Is he just not very self-aware of what's happening in his life? What's going on that causes David to change like that? Well, look at Psalm 23, verse 1 again. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. David isn't saying that everything in life is good. He isn't saying you don't have any problems. He isn't saying there aren't going to be challenges. And as a matter of fact, in the same scripture, in just a couple of sentences, he's going to say you're going to walk through valleys that feel like they're killing you, and you're going to be surrounded by your enemies. So he obviously thinks that there's threats and dangers and enemies that are out there, but he says, I'm going to lack nothing, because no matter what happens in my life, no matter what is going on in my life, no matter how big my problem is, no matter what the threat is, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's why I lack nothing. And so what David is trying to tell us here is that worry can be consumed in trusting in God as your good shepherd. Now, what's a shepherd do? A shepherd protected the sheep. A shepherd cared for the sheep. A shepherd loves the sheep. And so what David is trying to say here is, the reason I don't worry when threats hit me is that I know that I have a good shepherd, God, who loves me, who's going to care for me, who's going to protect me. And that's the antidote. So when worry hits us and we're overwhelmed, we can look to God, our good shepherd, and know that he's going to provide our needs in the midst of our trouble. Now, what's worry in the first place? This is how Webster's Dictionary defines worry. To dwell on problems, to focus on them because you think something bad is about to happen. So you dwell on something that you think is about to happen. So that's borrowing tomorrow's problems today. That's basically is what you're doing when you're worrying about something. We're told by sociologists that 85% of the things we worry about never happen. 85% of the things we worry about and stay up all night worried about never happen. I'll give you a perfect example that happened to me this week. A couple years ago, you all probably remember I had the really bad blood clots in my leg that went up into my lungs and all that kind of stuff. I have to wear my compression sock to this very day. It's actually a very fashionable compression sock, though, I have to say, and all of that. Well, when I got my blood clot, my main symptoms was my leg hurt really bad, and I started having some night sweats. Those were my main symptoms. So the other night, in the middle of the night, I woke up and my leg was hurting real bad, and I was sweating. And so I start thinking, oh my goodness, I'm having another blood clot. It doesn't matter that I'm on bukus of blood thinner and I see the doctor every 2 months or anything like that. I must be having a blood clot. So the next morning, after staying up all night long worrying about it, I call the doctor and I say, you know, I think I might be having a blood clot. And he said, well, you need to get in and get it checked right away. And so I did the Doppler. They go in, they do the Doppler thing, and they said, yeah, you got some scar tissue, but you know, there's no blood clots or anything. I went home that night, I slept like a baby. You know, there's no blood clot in my leg anymore. So that was something I worried about that had no justification. 85% of what we worry about doesn't happen. I've told you the famous Mark Twain quote many times. Mark Twain said, I've lived through some terrible things in my life, one or two of which actually happened. And that's how we are with worry. So when worry hits us, the antidote to worry is to trust in God, your good shepherd, who's going to provide what you need at all times in your life. So here's the first interactive question we have. Whether you're in person or online, just put that in that chat feature. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, what's your level of stress over worry right now? How much are you worrying right now? So on a scale of 1 to 10 being I'm worried out of my mind. If that's the case, so on a scale of 1 to 10, just put in that chat feature where you are with worry in your life right now. That brings us to the second stressor and antidote that we have in Psalm 23, the second one, and that's exhaustion. Exhaustion. And the antidote is to follow God's command for rest. To follow God's command for rest. So look at the very next sentence, Psalm 23, verse 2. So he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He goes on in verse 2 and he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Now, the very words here are really interesting. It doesn't just say, hey, he gives me a good place to rest, and he gives me quiet waters there. He says, he makes me do these things. You know, sometimes sheep are stubborn, and they didn't want to rest or something. Anybody here ever have a child? Nobody? Just Mary Adams? Okay, more than a few people. All right. Did your children ever not want to rest? Like call every single night of the week. We found out like Andrew never got tired. He just turned off. So he'd be going full speed, bouncing off walls, and then you look over and he'd be laying in the kitchen floor sound asleep or something. You know, he's kind of turned off all of a sudden. But they never wanted to go to bed. They never wanted to rest. And yet we're told in our scripture, he makes me lie down in green pastures, whether I want to or not, because sometimes we are stubborn people. And because we're stubborn people, we exhaust ourselves. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, one of the Ten Commandments is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that you need a day of rest in your life, that the way that God created us, our bodies can't go on 7 days a week without rest mentally, physically, and spiritually. We need that in our life. And yet we ignore it. We think we're smarter than God. We think we're so arrogant that if we don't work 7 days a week and never stop and never rest, that the world's not going to keep revolving. And so we just push ourselves and push ourselves, and we are completely, completely exhausted. And there's so many things that cause us to be exhausted. One thing that causes us to be exhausted today is all the choices that we have. We have choices like we've never seen before. Choices that 20 years ago we'd have never dreamed of. Anybody here ever drink a Starbucks? Going to Starbucks, guess what? There are 80,000 different options for a drink when you go into Starbucks. 80,000! That could put a little bit of stress on you. And if you work at Starbucks, it's like a badge of honor. Yeah, give it to me, you know. And so we're trying to think, okay, what do I want? I want Splenda with light foam, decaf with non-fat skim 1% milk or something like that, you know. And they're going, you know, they just love it when you do something like, you know, they're trying to see if you can beat them when you're doing that. All those choices, though, cause stress. Ever been to the Cheesecake Factory? They give you a menu that looks like an encyclopedia. And if you are a millennial or younger, ask your parents what an encyclopedia is, okay? They will tell you what an encyclopedia is. But that's what the Cheesecake Factory menu looks like. It's just so many choices. That exhausts us. Then we have sensory overload. We never turn our minds off. Here's a picture of Times Square right now. Who thinks that that would be a little bit of sensory overload as you're going through Times Square? But think about it. We never turn our computers off. What are you doing when you're in bed at night? You've got your telephone and you're doing this. And so that blue screen is always in your face, and we're never resting and we're never calming down, and then we never take a day off. We never have a time of physical rest. We never have a time of spiritual renewal. We never have a time of mental rest, and our bodies just cannot take it. And we're so arrogant, we think we know better than God knows. And the prescription in verse 2 is to follow God's command of rest. He makes us lie down in green pastures. When we're too arrogant or too hard-headed to do it ourselves, he said, you need that day of rest. Not only that, he leads us by the quiet, still waters. You ever just been by a creek as the water's flowing? Nothing more restful and relaxful than that. We need that, and without it, there will be exhaustion. So exhaustion is a stressor. The antidote is to follow God's command for rest. So the second interactive question, just like the first, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you right now with the stressor of exhaustion? With 10 being, I'm so exhausted, I can't get by. I mean, look around the room right now. There are people that are yawning. It has nothing to do with my sermon. I guarantee you it has to do with that they're just exhausted. Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you with exhaustion? All right, that goes takes us to the third of the four stressors that we're going to be talking about today, and that is the stressor of spiritual dryness. Spiritual dryness. So our scripture goes on, verse 2. It's a verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He refreshes my soul. There comes times in our life when we are so overwhelmed with the world and everything going on that it affects us not just physically and mentally, it affects our soul. It affects our relationship with God. And we're told that what God wants to do is to refresh our soul. The antidote is to seek God and not religion. If you've ever been to Holiday World in July, you know that it is really, really hot. And if you've got kids with you, you know, your kids are miserable. They're trying, you know, they're whining every 5 seconds. You're about to pass out because it's so hot. And then you're walking through Holiday World, and suddenly there are those misters. You ever seen those misters that put out, just a little bit of water? And we were going through, I was about to pass out, and I just kept going back and forth through the misters. And Dawn says, "Chip, what are you doing?" And I said, "I just need a moment. You know, I just need to have these misters cool me down for just a second. Do something about the parched dryness that I'm experiencing." That's what happens in our spiritual lives sometimes, is that we just get parched and we get dry and we just get farther and further and further away from God. It's been a hard time for a lot of people over the past year. We have gone through a worldwide pandemic where we couldn't be around other people. We couldn't come to church. We couldn't have our Bible studies. Relationships with friends and family were cut off. And all of that caused a spiritual dryness. Now, we start out and we're real motivated when we start out. But the longer you get into things and the more the problems hit, then the more you start to become spiritually dry. At the beginning of the pandemic, I told Dawn, I said, "Man, I'm going to use this as a time to get this old body in shape. You know, we're home, we're not doing anything. I'm going to eat good and work out." And believe it or not, over the next 5 months, I lost 15 pounds. Unbelievable. But then the stupid pandemic just wouldn't stop. It just kept going on and on and on. And we hit Thanksgiving. And from Thanksgiving to today, I've gained 20 pounds, which puts me at -5 for the pandemic as we've gone into it. And Dawn's given me some advice. She said she is not buying slacks any larger than I'm wearing now. I can either hold them together the best I can, or I can get down and wear them again. So those are my only two choices that I have when I'm there. So I had good intentions, and it worked real well for a while. But then eventually you hit a wall. But that's not just happened physically. It's happened to a lot of us spiritually. We started out and we said, "I'm going to get closer to God. I'm going to read my Bible. This thing isn't going to get the best of me." And then it goes on 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months. And everything seems to be taken away. And pretty soon it hits us spiritually. We start slacking in our Bible study. We're not praying like we used to do. Our problems are starting to get us to worry. And so what happens is we get further and further away from God. And yet we're told in the beginning of verse 3 that what God wants to do is to refresh our souls, is to give us what we are lacking, because right now we have spiritual dryness. I don't know if you knew it or not, but the United States is actually under some record drought right now. As a matter of fact, in 38% of our country, 73 million acres, 93 million people in 31 states are undergoing a severe drought. Now, we don't see it in our part of the country, but here's a lake in California right now. There's almost the houseboats, it's like coming towards them. There's not a lot of the water left that's there, that kind of dryness, and we feel it in our spiritual lives. So what's the antidote to that? The antidote to spiritual dryness isn't religious activity. It's not, "I'm going to do more things for God," or get more involved, or do all this stuff I wasn't doing. The answer is God has to refresh your soul, so you have to reconnect with God. It's not activity, it's relationship. You need to get back to your relationship with God first and foremost. If you want to get rid of spiritual dryness, it's not through religious activity, it's through your relationship with God. Now, maybe you're doing some of those things. "I'm going to start praying, and I haven't been praying because I want to talk to God and get that connection. I'm going to start reading my Bible because I don't want to know what God says and where He's directing me. I'm going to start giving money because I want to show God that I love Him. I'm sacrificing for Him. I'm going to volunteer because I want to be involved in God's work." It might be activity that takes part in it, but the goal and the purpose is to reconnect with God so that He can refresh your soul. He wants to, but we have to connect with Him, seek that relationship with Him, and then He will refresh our soul. So here's that third interactive question, the same as the first two. On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you with spiritual dryness right now in your life? And that brings us to the last of the four stressors that we're going to look at today, and then we'll get four more next week. And that is difficult decisions. Difficult decisions. And the antidote is to let God's will direct your decisions. Let God's will direct your decisions. So let's look at the end of verse 3 here. He says, "He refreshes my soul, and He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, however you want to look at that. So God is going to lead you in the path and the direction that you're going to go. Now, it's one thing to say, okay, Lord, I've got a lot of different choices. Help me with those choices. But sometimes we just have really big, difficult decisions. Have you ever taken one of those little quizzes where it talks about how much stress you're under and it asks things, have you moved lately? Have you changed jobs? You know, have you changed relationships? You know, and you kind of go through that thing that talks about how much stress is in your life. Well, if you take one of those and you just look at what has happened in the last year in our country, those are stressors that will put you off the charts. There have been so many physical or so many important decisions that we've had to make one after another. We've had decisions that we've had to make about COVID and physical health. Decisions like, am I going to come back to church? Am I going to see people in my family? Am I going to get a vaccine? Will I get a COVID test? Whatever. We've had a lot of physical questions and difficult decisions that we've had to make. We've had a lot of difficult decisions we've had to make about politics. You know, we've been worried about politics. You know, who am I going to vote for? Who's going to win? What happens if the person I don't vote for wins? We have all kinds of things that are going on, and there were difficult questions that came up politically. We've had racial issues, and how are we going to respond to those racial issues? And what kind of an individual in a church, what are the things that we're going to stand for? And those have been difficult decisions for everybody to make and difficult things to look at. We've had job uncertainty and people wondering, am I going to keep my job? Am I going to have enough money to pay the bills? And all of that has caused a lot of difficult decisions and questions. And we've had relationships disrupted. And we think, you know, is it okay for me to see my grandkids or my children or to get together with my friends? And all of those are difficult decisions that we have to make. I was reading a story this week about a grandfather in Florida. He hadn't seen his children since last March when the pandemic hit. And now both of his son and his daughter-in-law both have gotten the shot. He's gotten his vaccine as well. And so the children drove down to Florida where their father was from out of state, and they surprised him while he was eating at a restaurant. And here's a picture that's there. So he hadn't seen them in over a year, and that's the reaction when he sees them and that comes to them. And you look at that, and that was a difficult decision. It was a difficult decision for the children. What do we do? Do we go see our dad? What, you know, do we not see him? Do we have to be vaccinated first? Those are difficult decisions that we have to make, and there's not necessarily a right or a wrong answer. You can look at this picture, and you can think of one of two things. You can look at that picture, and you can think, man, they were really stupid not to have gotten together for a year. How could you have severed that relationship? That's idiotic. Or you can look at that picture and think, oh my goodness, I can't believe they're together now, even vaccinated. They travel? They're trying to kill everybody. And you know, but you have that decision to make as an individual. How are you going to make the decision? Well, our scripture says he's going to guide us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so all you can do is to say, where do I feel God leading me? What do I think God wants in my life? What's God's will? And then you have to decide that individually. And when you've decided that for yourself, this is what I think God wants for me, then that's the way that you react. It might not be the way another person sees it. They might see it entirely different from you and still be good Christians. But you are just saying, God, where are you leading me? What's the path you want for me? And you're seeking God's will, God's purpose, and God's direction in your life. And it gives you some security to let you know that God wants to lead you. He wants to guide you in the right path. And then it's interesting how that sentence ends, for his name's sake. That God wants you to be making the right decisions and doing the right thing, because it not only helps you, it shows that his way is right and better and holy, and it makes his name be glorified when you're living in the right way. So see, God, I know you want the best for my life. I know that you want to guide me for your name's sake. And you look and you say, God, where are you leading me? What are you doing? How am I going to get through this? What's the best decision that I can make? And you make that decision for yourself. When you do that, you realize that's a personal decision. You don't judge other people for their decisions. You're responsible for how God is leading you and how you react. You're not responsible for what other people think or how they react. Don't judge them. Don't criticize them. You just do what you think is best. Let God lead you in that path of righteousness for his name's sake. So as we did with the other three, on a scale of 1 to 10, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you with being overwhelmed with difficult decisions? Where are you with being overwhelmed with difficult decisions? So we looked at four stressors this week and the antidote to them. We're going to be looking at four more next week. So just a quick review. We've talked about worry, and the antidote to worry is to trust God, your good shepherd, to meet your needs. We've talked about exhaustion, and the antidote is to follow God's command for rest. We've talked about spiritual dryness, and the antidote is to seek God and relationship with God. And we've talked about difficult decisions that we have to make, and the antidote is to let God's will direct your decision making. When we do that, we go from being stressed to being blessed. Let's have a prayer. Father, we have to admit that all of us are stressed in our life. Stress seems to be overwhelming sometimes. And yet, Lord, we know that there is an antidote, and the antidote is always our relationship with you. So, Father, help us to follow this great psalm and to seek you and your solutions to what is burdening us and holding us down today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we come to this time of invitation, and I guess the main thing I would say is for you to look at your life and say, what is stressing me right now? And to realize whatever that stressor is in your life, that there is a God that is greater than that threat or that stress. And to give it to God right now, to just turn it over to him. If you're here and you're watching online or you're in person and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you don't really have the antidote to the stressors in your life. And what you need to be doing is saying, Lord, I want you in my life as Lord and Savior. I want to follow you. I want you to forgive me. I want you to come and be my good shepherd. If you're online, hit that prayer tab. Somebody will be glad to pray with you right now. If you're in person, go to the Welcome Center, fill out a card, and somebody will be contacting you. But this is your time and your opportunity as we stand together and we sing.
We hope you enjoyed today's lesson and that it spoke to you. If you have prayer needs or want more information about us, we invite you to stop by our website, mywrbc.org, and click on Contact. Please use the word podcast in the subject line. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, keyword MyWRBC. At Westport Road Baptist Church, we love God and love people. Please join us for Sunday morning service at either 9:30 a.m. or 11 a.m. We also have Sunday school for all ages during both service times. Thanks again for listening, and join us next week for another message from God's Word.